All right, welcome in everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
I am.
Awesome. Always good to have you here. Today we're going all the way back to 1989.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 1989, to an Ohio Supreme Court case, Lacaze versus City of Canton. This is a really fascinating case, and really kind of a classic statutory conflict case. So for anyone out there, interested in how courts actually wrestle with different laws that seem to be pulling in different directions, this is a great one to dig into. So the case essentially revolves around trying to reconcile two different Ohio statutes. We've got the recreational user statute, which offers immunity to landowners who allow free public recreation. But then you've got the law that mandates that cities, have to keep their public grounds safe. So you can see how there might be a little bit of tension there.
Yeah, a little bit.
So the question at the heart of Lacaze is, does a city, does a municipality get that same kind of recreational immunity that a private landowner gets? And this tension between encouraging people to open up their land for recreation and the city's duty to, make sure that their spaces are safe for everyone. That's the kind of the central thread that we're going to be pulling on today.
Absolutely. It's really interesting to see how these two, legislative purposes really come to a head in this case.
Yeah, and this is especially important for anyone who's, studying law or interested in legal interpretation. This case really highlights some of the key principles like lex specialis, which is the idea that a more specific law is going to govern over a more general law. So we're going to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of Lacaze, break down the facts of the case, look at how it went through the courts, and get into the reasoning behind the Supreme Court's decision and what kind of impact it's had.
And some of the criticisms.
Yeah, exactly. And the criticisms as well. So let's set the stage first. Take us back to 1984. We are in Canton, Ohio, right at Stadium Park. And our main character in this story is Rojanne Lacaze. Now, she is at the park, but she's not playing softball or anything. She's a spectator.
Oh, interesting.
She's there to watch a free softball game.
Okay.
No entry fee, nothing like that. Just free, open to the public.
Okay.
So as she's walking around, she trips over this unmarked cable
Oh no.
that's been strung between some posts, and she gets injured.
Right.
So now here's where the legal stuff kicks in.
Right.
Remember, no entry fee.
Right.
She's using the park for free recreation. This is important.
Yeah.
So she sues the city,
Okay.
and her argument is based on RC 723.01, which, as we mentioned, that's the one that says municipalities have to keep their public grounds safe, free from nuisance.
All right.
Her point is, hey, this unmarked cable, this was a hazard. The city should have prevented this.
Yeah, makes sense.
So round one of this legal battle takes place in the trial court,
Okay.
and they actually sided with the city.
Oh, wow.
They dismissed the case based on the idea of recreational user immunity.
Okay.
They said, look, she was there for free recreation. That statute kicks in. City's off the hook.
Oh, interesting. So what was the thinking behind the appeals court reversing that?
Well, the appeals court really latched on to that 723.01, the city's duty to keep those public grounds safe. They put a lot of weight on that, especially because we're talking about a municipality. They have a responsibility to their citizens.
Yeah, so you're starting to see that tension play out
Exactly.
between the encouragement of recreation and then the need for the city to keep things safe.
Exactly. And that's precisely why this case ended up in front of the Ohio Supreme Court.
Oh, wow.
They stepped in specifically to resolve this conflict between these two state laws.
Right.
It was a big deal. It wasn't just about Mrs. Lacaze anymore.
No.
This was about setting a precedent for the whole state.
So the Ohio Supreme Court had to decide which of these two laws was really going to be the top dog here.
Yes. Like, which legislative goal takes priority?
Right.
Is it more important to protect cities from liability so they keep those public spaces open? Or is it more important to hold them accountable for safety?
Right.
All right, so let's get into the Supreme Court's analysis.
Okay.
First, they look at the actual language of the recreational user statute. That's the 133.181. They zoom in on the word premises.
Okay.
And they basically decide that premises is broad enough to include land that's owned by a city or a municipality.
Okay, so that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
If the statute had said private land, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Exactly.
So by saying premises can include public land, that means the city can potentially use that recreational user immunity as a shield.
Right. Now, they didn't just stop at the dictionary definition of premises. Uh-huh. They also went back and looked at some previous cases,
okay,
like Moss and Johnson. And in those cases, the court had already started to say, you know what, this recreational immunity, it can apply to public lands too, like state parks.
Right.
So the Supreme Court in La Caz, they weren't starting from scratch here. Yeah. They were building on what had already been decided.
Yeah, so they were following precedent.
Exactly. Then they dive into this legal principle called lex specialis.
Okay.
And this is the idea that, you know, if you have a more specific law that applies to a situation, mm-hmm. it's going to trump a more general law.
Right.
So they looked at it and said, okay, we've got the recreational user statute that's pretty specific to people getting hurt while recreating on land that's free and open to the public.
Right.
And then we have that general law about a city's duty to keep its grounds safe. Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, the recreational user statute is the more specific one, so it wins.
Right. So the context of recreation sort of overrides the general duty to keep things safe.
In this instance, yeah.
It's interesting, you know, because the lex specialis, it's not a hard and fast rule.
Yeah.
There are times when courts say, well, yeah, but this other law, even though it's more general, its purpose is so important that it kind of has to win out.
Right. It's always about context.
Right.
Right.
But here the court decided, nope, specificity is really what matters here.
Yep. Now, I think it's a good time to pause here and address our listeners directly.
Okay.
Because you might be thinking, why on earth would the legislature want to give cities this kind of immunity?
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't that just let them off the hook for being negligent?
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive.
Right. But the court says, hold on, we've got to think about the big picture here.
Yeah.
The point of this recreational user immunity is to encourage landowners of all types, including cities, to open up their land for the public to enjoy.
Right.
Without constantly worrying about getting sued if someone has a little accident.
Right. Makes parks and stuff more accessible to everyone.
Exactly. And that's good for the whole community.
Yeah.
So the thinking is, if cities are always scared of getting sued, they might just shut down those parks and rec areas altogether.
Right. Yeah.
No one wants that.
Yeah.
So the immunity is kind of like a trade-off.
All right.
We want to encourage those recreational opportunities,
right,
even if it means cities get a little bit of a legal shield.
Okay, so that's the policy reasoning behind it.
Exactly. Now, to actually apply this to Mrs. Lacoz's case, uh-huh. the court had to figure out if she even qualified as a recreational user.
Right.
And for that, they had a four-part test.
Four-part test, okay.
Okay, so one, was the land open to the public for free?
Okay.
Two, was the person's purpose recreational?
Good.
Three, was the land owned by a municipality?
Right.
And four, did the injury happen while the person was doing something recreational?
Okay, so you've got free access, recreational purpose, municipal land, and the injury happening during recreation.
Right. Now, apply that to Miss LaCaz.
Let's see. Stadium Park is free, so check on that one.
Yeah.
She was there to watch a softball game, which I think we can agree is recreational.
The court definitely thought so.
Right, right. The land is owned by the city of Canton.
Uh-huh.
And she got hurt while she was at the park for that recreational purpose.
Bingo.
So all four prongs are met.
Exactly. Now, you know, we talked about how she was a spectator.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think her lawyers tried to use that to argue she wasn't really a recreational user?
Oh, for sure they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet they said something like, come on, she wasn't out there sliding into bases. She was just watching.
Right. Like, is that the kind of recreation the statute had in mind?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But the Supreme Court was pretty clear on this one.
Okay.
They said, nope, passive recreation, like just watching a game, that still counts as a recreational purpose.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if you're the star player or just someone cheering from the sidelines.
Right.
If you're in a public park for free, enjoying yourself, you're likely a recreational user under this law.
Okay, so that's important to remember. But it's also important to remember that this immunity is specifically for recreational users.
Right.
It doesn't apply to everyone.
Exactly. Like, if you're a city employee working at the park,
right,
this immunity probably wouldn't protect the city if you got hurt on the job.
Right. You're not there for fun. You're there for work.
Right. Or imagine someone like, I don't know, a food vendor setting up for a festival.
Right, right.
They're not there to kick back and relax.
Yeah.
So the key takeaway is that it really hinges on whether you're there for recreation, for leisure.
Right.
That's what triggers this immunity.
Okay, that makes sense.
So big picture, what was the impact of this decision?
Yeah. What changed?
Well, the bottom line is that after LICOS, cities in Ohio generally can't be sued under that 723.01
mm-hmm.
by people who are considered recreational users if they get hurt on city property.
So they have a pretty big shield now.
Yeah. They've got some strong protection from lawsuits in these situations.
But doesn't that mean that a city could create a dangerous situation and still be immune?
That is a really interesting point, and it's definitely one of the more controversial aspects of this whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Imagine if the city was the one who put that unmarked cable there,
right.
and someone tripped over it.
Right.
They could still be immune from liability.
Wow, that's a tough pill to swallow.
It is, and that's why there's been some criticism of this decision.
Yeah.
Some people argue that this kind of blanket immunity just doesn't incentivize cities to actually keep their parks and rec areas safe.
Right.
Like, if they know they're not going to get sued,
mm-hmm.
why bother fixing those broken swings or putting up warning signs?
Right. Where's the motivation?
Exactly. But the counter argument to that,
yeah.
and the one that sort of supports what the Supreme Court did, is that, look, the legislature intentionally included public lands in that recreational user statute.
Mm-hmm.
They could have specifically excluded cities, but they didn't. So the argument is that they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They wanted to give cities that extra protection to encourage them to keep those parks open and accessible.
Okay, so it comes down to legislative intent.
Exactly. Now, what does this all mean for you?
Yeah, what should our listeners take away from this?
Well, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're injured in a public park in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking about suing the city,
right.
the first question you and your lawyer should ask is,
okay.
were you there for recreation and was it free?
Yeah, those two things are key.
Because if the answer to both of those is yes,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a much harder time making your case.
Okay.
Lien's cause really set that precedent.
Right, so it's a huge hurdle for plaintiffs to overcome.
It is. So to wrap up, LICOS versus City of Canton is a fantastic example of how courts try to resolve these conflicts between different laws.
Yeah.
The big takeaway is that the more specific law, especially when it's supported by previous cases and a clear legislative intent, is usually going to win out.
Right. So specificity trumps generality.
In most cases, yeah. And in this case, it meant that the recreational user immunity took priority over that general duty of cities to keep their grounds safe.
Right. At least when it comes to recreational users.
Exactly. And for anyone out there studying law,
mm-hmm.
LICOS is a must read.
Definitely.
It shows you how important statutory interpretation is
mm-hmm.
and how courts try to balance these competing policy goals.
Right. And that tension between access to recreation and then the responsibility to keep people safe.
Exactly.
It's a delicate balance.
It is. And one final thought for you all to ponder.
Okay.
Given all this, what do you think is the city's responsibility to make sure its public parks are safe?
Right.
Even if they have this immunity, shouldn't they still be doing everything they can to prevent injuries?
Yeah, like where does that line get drawn?
Right. Is immunity enough? Or do we need other mechanisms to ensure that public spaces are truly safe and enjoyable for everyone?
It's a really good question to think about,
yeah.
especially as, you know, we see more and more people using public parks in recreational areas.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's our deep dive into LICOS versus City of Canton.
That was a great one.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.